All right. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, God, for such a productive 2 days. You are amazing. And I thank you, Lord, for new technology. I just thank you that you equip us. You do equip us for doing our jobs and honoring you. You provide all of our needs. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for everything that you do for us. And thank you for my husband. I thank you for my children. I thank you for our health and what you're doing for Equip. And Lord Jesus, I do just want to worship you this morning.
And thank you for your only daughter.
Yeah, sure.
You need a daughter.
I need your daughter.
We thank you for the gift of praise. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, by your spirit, in your creation. Get this away from my technology, that I might stand in awe of you. You alone are worthy of our praise and honor and glory. You have created all things, and in all things, you are preeminent. We thank you, God, that you are pleasing to us. And God, we don't need you to be pleasing to us. We need you just to be right before us. So I thank you, God, for just being always right. You are always right.
Will apples still have their eggs wings?
I don't.
Your gifts are bountiful, and you're worthy of all our praise. Our praise is empty if you're not in it. You are worthy of praise. It's good for us to acknowledge you, and it's good for us to praise you even if we don't feel like it. And it's good for us to lift our prayers to you, God. We praise you, God, that you are love. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, that we could know what love looks like. Lord, we know that love is sacrifice. And I ask, God, that you would teach my children how to make sacrifices for you, Lord. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our solid rock, and I praise you for being our solid rock. You're our fortress and our rescuer, and you never change. You are the strength of our salvation, and you are our place of safety. And I think that's amazing, God. We praise you for being the everlasting God, the creator to the ends of the earth. You don't grow faint. You don't grow weary. Your understanding is unsearchable, Lord Jesus.
Don't
your ways are high.
Don't look at.
Hope. Hope. You're supposed to be quiet. Thank you.
You looked at.
Don't. Mom, is it shiny if I lick it?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to lick it. Hope was giving you good advice. I just didn't like that she screamed while I was praying. Right, Hopey?
Yeah.
You're supposed to listen? All right. Let's see. Your understanding is unsearchable, and your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, God. I praise you that you are the God who is perfect and that your word proves true and that you are a shield for all of those who take refuge in you, God. You are a shield for all of those who take refuge in you. Have us, teach us, God, teach us how to take refuge in you. And I praise you, God, for your holiness. Don't drink that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's just generally not for kids, right?
You want?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Praise you, who's like no other. You pardon, thank you, baby, our iniquities, and you pass over our transgressions. I praise you, God, for your mercy. You don't retain your anger forever, but you delight in steadfast love. And we praise you, Lord, for your compassion and your forgiveness. Because the Bible says you will tread our iniquities underfoot and cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Hey, why don't you put that, no. Put that on your lips to try to help your lips, okay? We praise you that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You keep steadfast love for thousands, and you forgive iniquity and transgression and sin. And who you by no means clear the guilty. I praise you, God, that you're like nobody else and your faithfulness surrounds you. I praise you that your righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne, and that your steadfast love and faithfulness goes before you. And I thank you, Jesus, that nothing is impossible for you. Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Lord Jesus, I do bring Gordon, Christine, Cade. No. That's just as naughty as what Luke was doing that you yelled at him for, that you knew he shouldn't do. I pray healing for Rachel. Who else is on our list? For Domo, for Mikey.
And for JJ.
For JJ, for Brittany, for Grandma. I just command all the plaque in Grandma's heart to go away.
Oh,
in Jesus' name.
Amanda.
And that she had it, but now I'm praying it goes away. So I bet it's going away.
And Hannah.
And I bless her mind that she's no longer dizzy and having those dizzy spells. Whatever's going on in the neurology, be healed in Jesus' name. We ask for the regeneration in Mosky's back. We just ask in faith that she's going to tell us, my back is healed. I have no more pain anymore. In Jesus' name. And we also pray for Elbra. And I claim healing for Elbra, Deidre's mommy, that her back is fully healed. And Lord Jesus, we commit our relatives to you for salvation. For salvation, Jesus, and healing on Jeremy's liver in Jesus' name. Liver be healed in Jesus' name. Lord God, we just do remember the things that are important to you.
The packing plate.
Provide for us the home or point us to the home you've already provided, that we would know it, where you want us to live, and we would live in it and worship you there and collect people to worship you there in that home. You can go get one real quick. And Lord Jesus, guide our safety on the RV trip. And go quickly, get a toy, that's fine. A quiet one. And I ask that you would continue to reward Ian for pressing into you, that that you would give him the tools of knowledge, Jesus, that he would realize that he can cast his cares upon you. And with prayer and petition, you will answer him. When we ask and seek and knock, you answer and you open doors and you help us find you. And even solutions to business questions. I thank you for helping us prioritize well. Just help us keep our priorities straight, Jesus, that we put you first in everything we do. And Lord Jesus, I pray for equip in our planning. I thank you for what you did yesterday, Tuesday, on March 22nd. That was a drop of water and the first of an outpouring. And I ask God that you would give us an outpouring before we travel to Atlanta, that we could be part of it and see it. Lord Jesus, I ask that we would go down in submission to you and lift up our praise so that we could be vessels that are pure before you. Your kindness is astonishing. And develop in the children the real desire to go deeply with you, God, to spend time hearing from you. Encourage them that they can hear from you. You are a God who answers our prayers. You're not silent. You're not silent on us. You answer our prayers. And for those things, we're just so grateful because we don't answer our own prayers, God. You answer our prayers. We don't have knowledge and wisdom within ourselves. You have the knowledge and wisdom that we need. We don't know the answers, but you have the answers. And we're not sufficient, but you're all sufficient, God. So thank you for your amazing value to the world, and thank you for making us valuable to the world. You tell us, my children, I want you to bring my value to the world, not your own. You don't have value to give, but with me, you have all value. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, God, that we could finish Isaiah yesterday. That's exciting. And we will march forward. I did not decide. I think we will thank God like I just did, and that will be good. Okay.
Oh, Mama.
Mommy.
Whatie?
Cold. Wheels are not going very well.
Hope, you gotta come back now. Okay.
I can't find a moving toy that moves super fast. I guess I'm gonna have to play with this.
All right, we're gonna go to this one. We are going to do season 4, episode 159, Luke. Okay. And we're gonna start with Psalm 12. And see, Lord Jesus, teach us from your word. Help us learn and not have time wasted, but open our hearts and open our minds to really understanding. Really understanding you. Okay, Psalm 12. Uh-oh. Let that kitty go. Okay. This is to the choir master, according to the Sheminith. The Sheminith was a musical or a liturgical term, probably. So it's a Psalm of David. You know King David? King David?
Yeah, King David. David was king.
He was the king. Okay, I'm going to read it to you.
David.
I'm going to read it. Okay, Cade, you start to read it. You can read this.
Save our Lord, for the godly is gone. Godly one is gone. For the faithful have vanished from among the children of man.
Keep going. Go up to it and read it.
But then I have to stand.
Okay. Luke, don't blow it down. This one, verse 2. Everyone utters what?
Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. The fire rips and double.
Hope no.
MP, a double heart.
What does that mean?
MP, a double heart.
What's that mean?
That neighbor's a lie.
Double how?
David is saying, oh man, bad things are happening. Mm-hmm. And he quotes 1 Chronicles. That's talked about having a double heart before. That means having a divided heart. And James 1:8 says a two-souled man is unstable in all his ways. So David is lamenting to the Lord. He's saying, where are the faithful? They're gone. Everyone's a liar and everyone's just telling lies and they have two hearts. They don't have one heart. They're not unified. What, Luke?
He won't give me two, 107 blocks.
Can you share some blocks with Luke? Thank you, kid.
I want 7.
Okay. So now he's going to pray, right? When we notice something wrong, we pray. Does God help us when we do that? I'm asking you guys a question. When we notice something wrong, we pray. Does God help us?
Yeah.
He always does. That's right. So that's what David did. He prayed because he noticed something wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. He's, ooh. He's saying, this is his prayer. May the Lord cut off all the flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Do you know what they're saying? The tongue is an organ. And it's an organ of your speech, right? You could not really talk without a tongue. Try to talk, but keep your tongue.
Hello.
With the tongue out. No. You can't talk without a tongue.
Hello.
No, keep your tongue out because your tongue can't be part of the speech.
Huh? Or your tacos.
The tongue can be a source of praise or blame. The tongue can be kept in control or out of control, right? Mm-hmm. It has capacity to bring life or evil and death. Life or evil and death. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. So David is saying, man, cut off all those flattering lips and the tongue that makes great boasts. And those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us, who is master over us? Do you know what? A lot of times in life, stop. What am I saying stop to? Tell my confetti a bit. Okay. When we notice things that are wrong around us, a lot of times we just feel sad, but that's not actually the right thing to do. You can't just be silent and feel sad. What do you need to do?
Lift.
What do you need to do?
Lift.
You need to pray. Yeah. Because the poor are plundered. Here's how he answers. Listen. Here's how the Lord answers. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. Do you know what? The Lord saw the human condition, especially the poor and the needy, and it moved him to take action, right? That's the kind of God we serve. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Do you know what that means? Let me show you something. Look up. Okay.
My steak is in bacon.
Okay. I'm gonna... Okay, first, they dissolve the silver, so they're boiling it. Then they put it in silver chloride, which is an acid. Then they wash the silver chloride. Then they convert it to a silver oxide. Then they reduce it to a silver metal. And then look.
Let's melt a small sample to see how our...
They're going
to
melt it. Now, here's the more interesting part of this. Watch. This is refining. This is what God's talking about. Now, imagine this process seven different times to make a very, very, very pure silver. Okay, that's what the Lord is talking about. Do you get it?
Yeah. Can we see the whole thing, babe? Because you definitely skipped it.
So the words of the Lord are pure words, like that shiny silver, like the silver on your shirt, Hokey. Refined in a furnace on the ground.
I don't like that we got to see all of it.
Purified seven times.
Can you try to figure out something?
You need to fix your heart. Fix your heart right now. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. This sounds just like this generation. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness among the children of man. So, David is making a complaint to the Lord. Do you think the Lord cares? Oh, yeah. He responded already, right? He really cares what's going on with his children. Especially when the poor and the needy are suffering. He really cares. So now we get to start Proverbs 25. All right. It says, these are the Proverbs from Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. Do you understand? Why would Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, copy Solomon? Huh? You don't know why? I'll tell you a little bit about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz. He was a king of Judah. He was one of the greatest kings of Judah. And he reigned from 715 to 690 before Christ. So you can look at these pictures if you want. Oops. Here's some pictures of like where he was from. If you want to see them. Nobody wants to see them. Okay. That's like where Hezekiah was from. It comes to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elha, reigned Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, a son of 25. He was 25 when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother was Abi, son of Zechariah. Oh.
I wonder if Abi was named after.
He stopped the upper waters of Gihon and directed them beneath to the west of the city of David. And he's prospered in his work. So the ambassadors of the heads of Babylon and those sending unto him inquired of the wonder that he had been involved in. That's how amazing King Hezekiah was.
That was rude.
What was?
While mommy's trying to teach you, you scream at your board in her face.
I don't have any blocks and I don't have anything to play with.
Whoa, I spy for Cade. Whoa. That was really great, Cade. All right. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. What does that mean? Oh, my goodness. That's one of my favorite. What does that mean? It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search things out.
Kings search things out, and God has all the glory.
If you are kingly, meaning that you're fit to rule, fit to lead, you will search the things of God out, right? Mm-hmm. You'll study his word, and you'll ask him questions, and you'll listen. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so is the heart of kings unsearchable. What is God saying in this? As high as the heavens are high, and as deep as the earth is deep, the heart of kings is unsearchable. What is he talking about? Why does he say that? Yeah.
Because it's good.
Can you say it again?
He's good.
Okay. As the heights, as the heavens for height, and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable.
That you search everywhere, but the heart of the king is unsearchable. And you can't find it.
And also Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is Jehovah, and praised greatly, and of his greatness."
Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah, there is no searching. You can't really discover everything that God knows, but you can ask him. We say, and God says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel." Do you understand? What could be, okay, if you take away the dross, the yucky stuff out of silver, what happens? The smith, the maker, has something useful that he can make. Do you understand? So when God says, just like that silver video that you saw, right? This, like this one, look at that beautiful silver. When God puts your life in fire, meaning you go through hard times, he's refining you, and he's making you useful. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So when you go through hardship in your life, or you go through discipline, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, "God, I'm angry at you. How could you do it?" Or are you going to say, "God, I'm going to search your heart out and find out, what are you teaching me, and how are you refining me?"
The second one.
You're going to ask God, "God, what should I learn?" And that will make you fit to rule. That will make you useful for him. That's very good. It says also, "Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." So, Cade, you're a ruler. Luke, hope, victory. You're rulers of a kingdom. And you know what the Bible is saying to you? He's saying you got to look at your kingdom and say, all the wickedness has to get out. You've got to pray. All the wickedness has to get out. All the wickedness has to get out of your heart. And guess what?
You want me to help you make it?
You're not paying attention. You're not answering me. This is pretty simple.
Mama, I was just asking him if you want to help me make it.
Your job is first listening and second playing. Okay, what happens when you're a king and you say to your kingdom, "Lord, take away the wickedness from my kingdom. Take away the wickedness from my land. Take away the wickedness from my heart." What does the Lord do?
He takes it away.
He will establish your throne in righteousness. Okay. He will establish your throne in righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteousness, guys?
Believe me.
It is what is right. It's normal. It's just. Okay? It's being right in the sight of God. So he will establish your throne in what is right and just and noble and right before God. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and the last thing is about humility. God says, "Listen, Hope." Hope, victory. Are you listening? Luke, are you listening? Cade, are you listening? Okay, he says, "Don't put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Do you know what that means?
No. Well, hold on. Which
verse is it? Verse 6 and 7. These ones.
Then, after add two of these, then you get the golden Allen Garland.
Oh, wow, that's actually a pretty good tower. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Not for a little kid.
Yeah. Kate, what are you saying? Yeah. I'm waiting on you.
It's better to have righteousness than being the noblest person in the whole world.
Kind of. Read it again. Yeah, read it again. It's this here.
This is tall enough for a little kid.
He's saying, don't go stand in the in the spot of the highest honor.
So don't go stand in the spot of the highest honor.
Right. Where should you stand? You should stand in the place of being the lowest. And then what is the leader going to say to you? If he wants.
Okay or no?
He said he might say, oh, come stand over here. Come get in the better position. Right? Because, and that's better, because that's not embarrassing. Otherwise, people can be embarrassed. Okay, 2 to 5. You know what? God really was faithful to us, because, did you learn a lot?
Yeah.
I did.
I learned from Bible Man and one of the other shows that we were watching.
My main thing here is that when God puts us in fire to refine us, he makes us useful to him. Search for him during hardship and ask him for revelation.
I have a question.
To rule and be in high position, remove all wickedness from your domain, including your heart. Be humble and put others before yourself. This is really a recipe to be a great ruler. Do you guys get it? Mm-hmm. It's really a good thing. Okay. So who can get me the chronological Bible? Thank you, Kate. Okay.
This
looks like we're in Song of Solomon. How exciting.
Now can we okay.
What?
Can we do a party?
No, I didn't decide that
on
yet.
On Luke's birthday?
We're having a Luke party on his birthday.
With friends?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Song of Solomon is one of my more favorite books of the Bible. Okay, listen, baby.
This is my favorite thing.
Okay. I cannot teach with you hollering over there. Okay. According to the most common interpretation, Song of Solomon is a collection of love poems, and it celebrates the relationship God intends for marriage. God established marriage, including the union of a husband and a wife. Israelite wisdom literature treasures this aspect of marriage as the right expression of human togetherness. Song of Solomon has been understood as an illustration of the love of Christ and you, his church. It is possible, however, this verse could mean the song was dedicated to Solomon or written about him. Okay. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Okay, this is the bride speaking. What happens in this verse is that you have different characters speaking. And right now, the bride is speaking. So she says, you say to the Lord, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. Do you know what we should say to God? Therefore, we say to Jesus, kiss us with your mouth. Your love is better than anything I could know. Anoint me with your oil. It's fragrant. And your name is oil. It is a soothing balm to every situation. Everybody loves you, and even those that are tender feel safe with you. Draw us in and let us run with you. Bring us into your chamber, Lord. That is what our prayer is from that. Okay, so a Song of Solomon 1 through 4. Song of Solomon 1:1-4. Did you guys understand what I just did? Yes or no?
Yes.
What did I do? What did I do?
Pray.
Pray? Why did I pray that?
So we can have a good life?
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Mark. Okay, I see that. Mark 6, 14 to 16. This is the second version of this story. And this is when Herod is mistaking Jesus for John the Baptist. He thought Jesus was John the Baptist, right? Okay. This is Mark 6, 14 through 16. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying, "This must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That's why he can do such miracles." Does he need a diaper?
Yeah, probably.
Others said, "He's the prophet Elijah." And still others said, "He's a prophet like other great prophets of the past." When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, "John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead." Do you remember Herod beheaded John the Baptist? Because the daughter, what was her name, danced for him? Herodias?
I don't know.
The daughter.
I think it's Amanda.
Herodias. It was Herodias. She danced for him, and he said, "Give me, you can have anything you want, even up to half the kingdom." And she asked her mom for what? What do I do?
For the head.
Yeah. And his mom, her mom, Herodias, also named Herodias, said, "I want the head of John the Baptist." She had evil in her heart, stored up in her heart. Remember how we talked about the tongue is the source of life and death? That's such a direct example.
Wait,
for you guys.
She would have been like this. Stop, get that thing away from me.
I think Herodias, the daughter, was probably damaged from that. Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean?
Because you don't do something so terrifying and evil without getting damaged. There's always a consequence for us participating in evil. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I like my tower.
I like it. It's good. All right, you guys get